I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten, and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
I'm much more or less on edge and anxious. It's a profound change in that everything just is easier now. It makes more sense.
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 595 with guest Brendan Fitzgibbons. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited and doing a little sing-songy voice because I, as you probably know, I've mentioned it several times on the show here, how interested I am in psychedelic therapy. And I've had a couple of guests where I've asked them about it, where it's been a part of their wheelhouse. The whole episode wasn't about it, but I asked Dr. Ellen Vora, who knows a lot about it. Dr. Sethi was on not long after that one. I'll pop those links in the show notes. And I've just been endlessly curious about it and decided after talking to my friend Brendan, and actually years ago, I ran into somebody who was actually the chef at one of my retreats, had done ketamine therapy, and she had an amazing experience. And my friend Brendan did ketamine therapy with the same company, had an amazing experience. And since then, I really need to do this. And I have a mini-sode also coming out this Friday where I'm kind of walking you through my decision. As someone in long-term recovery, this has not been an easy decision. And I've talked to my friends who are in long-term recovery. There's even a support group called Psychedelics in Recovery. And it has not been something that I've taken lightly. And as you know, I'm just endlessly looking for healing, I think as we all are, and different modes and really trying to get to the root of the problem. And as I've also mentioned on the show, like, you know, you can work on your mindset, you can do talk therapy and different ways of breaking that down, and CBT and, you know, and in somatic therapy, working with your body and EMDR and these different methods. And your subconscious is one of those things that's a little bit trickier to tap into. And from what I understand, psychedelic therapy is one way to do that. And today I have a guest for you. It is my friend Brendan, and he's also a comic by profession. So he's funny and entertaining, and I knew that having him on would be entertaining for you. And I had a lot of questions about his journey with ketamine therapy. And so that's what this episode is. What was it like? What did it feel like? How is your life different now? Are you going to do it again? Are you going to try different types of psychedelic therapy? So I hope you enjoy this and maybe get some of your questions answered, if not just sort of scratch the itch of your own curiosity. So stay tuned for that. And also one more thing, registration for Write Your Way Through It When this comes out, it might be open. If not, it's going to open within the next few days. My apologies for having to push that back. I have some things going on here. We are selling our home and we might not sell our home, and just things are kind of up in the air. As you know, it can be kind of a lot when you're going through a divorce. You know? I'm smiling. It's a journey. It's a lot. That's why it got a little mix up with the date. But it is coming. It is a journaling coaching program. It's group coaching online. We're going to meet in the evenings. And this is for you to tap into your creativity, to be in a community of like-minded women, to be able to share if you want to. And I will help you, even if you're someone that doesn't like journaling, even if you're someone who has tried it a couple of times and just never could stick with it, even if you're someone who buys notebooks because they're pretty and swears that you're going to journal and you never do, or maybe you've never bought a notebook, but you keep hearing about journaling, or you're a seasoned journaler. It's really for anyone. If you are someone who wants to tap into your inner wisdom or shine your creativity or just be around other like-minded people and see what happens, then this program is for you. AndreaOwen.com/program. Of course, all these links are in the show notes. And those are all at AndreaOwen.com/links. Everything important is there. AndreaOwen.com/links. So let me tell you a little bit about today's guest. Brendan Fitzgibbons is a Los Angeles writer, actor, and podcast host. He's written for Comedy Central, ComedyCentral.com, and The Onion, and has been featured on Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, MTV, and Comedy Central. His podcast, Spiritual Asshole, which I've been a guest on, was named Top Indie Podcast by Stitcher in both 2020 and 2021. So without further ado, here is Brendan. Brendan, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a different conversation than we had last time. And it was sort of a spur of the moment invite, because I've had several experts on who talk about, they're therapists or psychiatrists and things like that, talking about how helpful psychedelics can be for people in their personal development journey. Mm. And as someone who started an entire career in order to heal herself, I'm super curious. And as someone who's like kind of bumped up against some like stopping points almost, like I can't just like talk my way through this into healing, I've become personally invested and really interested in psychedelic therapy, both personally and professionally. And you and I have talked about that offline. So I wanted to bring you on to talk about your personal experience using psychedelics for therapeutic purposes.
Yes.
I think it'd be fun to talk about for recreational purposes, but that's not what this is for.
First of all, I want to say thanks for having me again. I re-listened to our episode and I was like, oh, I sound like I'm on cocaine. And I want everyone to know that I never have done cocaine. And this time I'm going to sound like I'm on psychedelics. So I'm going to take it down a notch. I'm going to take it down. I was at like a 12 on our, I think I was on two coffees. So I was.
In your defense, anytime I match energy with someone, we both tend to like go up to a volume of 100. So
yeah, that's where I'm blame you for sure. This is why gaslighting's awesome.
Sorry, not sorry.
Just take no responsibility. Just go to a 12. Yeah, I love what you just said. So I think what you just said is a key thing for people to hear. Talk therapy is great, but if you feel like it's not going somewhere or you're stuck, know that there's other avenues that can get at the deeper root of what's going on.
Yeah.
And it turns out psychedelics is one of those avenues.
Okay. Well, let's start from the beginning, because like take people through your journey of why you chose to go down the psychedelic therapy route. Was there like one thing that you sort of kept circling in talk therapy? Did someone, you know, do it and you heard great things about it? Like where was the decision?
I'm obsessed with the idea that your brain, if not regulated, will take you to insanely not great places. So I'm like, well, this is just a habit. So I'm like, how can I change the habit? So I'm not.
What do you mean by this? You're just like obsessive thoughts, or like what was your
like the way that your brain thinks right now is just a series of habits and habitual thinking and patterns, and it's objective. Like it's totally objective. It's like you literally were raised a certain way, and so those patterns can change. And so I'm obsessed with changing brain wiring. Like I think it's the most. I actually think it's the most important thing you can do now. So first of all, I want to go back and say, I'm not a big drug guy. I don't like edibles. Everybody in LA does weed. It's more prevalent than water. You go over to someone's house, they're like, what's up, weed or water? I'm like, neither. I'm good. And maybe coffee.
Yeah.
And okay, maybe coffee. But so edibles, That's not my thing. We something. So then about 2 years ago, one of my friends was like, you should do mushrooms. I know how much you care about brain stuff and it's really good for giving your brain a break. So I started slowly microdosing.
Okay. Psilocybin.
Yes. Psilocybin.
Okay. Which is the medicinal part of mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those at home, psilocybin. And so I started doing it and I remember feeling like, oh, wow, I'm not thinking, which is like the greatest gift you can give yourself.
I felt like wasn't the constant ticker tape going?
It's gone. You get into what is called a mushroom bubble, I would like to call. So the first time that I actually did it and I started feeling some real effects, I was in a hot tub. And I knew that it kicked in because I kept going, I'm soup. I feel like I'm soup. I'm just yelling, I'm soup in a hot tub. I also couldn't remember the name of Jeff Goldblum for like 20 minutes. I was like, what? You know, and I was just like.
Jurassic Park guy.
Yeah, the person I was doing it with, she was tripping so hard. She got a phone call and her roommate's like, hey, I have COVID. And she starts crying, laughing. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm really high right now. It was so good. But again, so mushroom bubble. So that was like 5 hours. And I kept saying, though, I probably did that about 4 or 5 times. And I kept saying, I want to talk to God, because I've heard a lot of my friends who've done a lot of psilocybin actually talk to God. So I'm like, I want to talk to God. I want to talk to God. So in June of last year, I talked to God.
Okay. I want to back up for a second, because this sounds like it was more of a recreational use with the intention, like you were open to talking to God, to maybe finding some healing or at least some revelations, right?
It started as a recreational thing, but it started more as an exploratory thing. Cause I was like, okay,
you've never done it before.
I've never done it. So, and I've never been a big drug guy at all. I drink and I can say with 1,000% certainty that psychedelics are so much better for you than drinking. And I have drank a lot. It's not even close. And it's just crazy. We'll get into this, how our society is so down with drinking and some people are so apprehensive about psychedelics. And I want to talk about that later on, because I want to go on a rant and get angry.
Okay. Get out your fiery torch.
I'm ready.
Okay. That's understandable. So I've done mushrooms like in the 90s. I was in my 20s and it was like a similar experience to yours. Just the smallest thing was hilarious. You know, feeling interconnected with people. It was just a great, fun experience. So I would feel comfortable doing it more as a therapeutic, and especially in someone in recovery, I feel like it's just the more responsible thing for me to do instead of like going in recreationally. Even microdosing, I'm kind of like, that's a little bit swimming with sharks for me.
Okay. Why? Because you feel like it could cross over into an addiction?
Yeah. Well, and I know that the research shows that that's incredibly rare, but I know my personality and I'm like, I don't even want to test that. Like, I don't even want to play with it. It's just not smart for me to do.
You should start with meth, actually. Isn't it pretty good?
That's what I've heard. Do you know anyone?
That's what I've heard is so good. What if you actually have heard that? Well, that's what I've heard. I've been hanging out in labs recently in Iowa, but that's what I've heard.
Campers.
Yeah. I've been hanging out in campers in Iowa. I've heard really good things. You should start slow with that. Yeah. So
more yellow. Mm-hmm.
So I never have done the official like microdosing protocol, but I know people who have done it with guides. And I can say I did start microdosing a couple years before then. And I always had good experiences, but I did it like 3 times. Okay. And I always felt mellow and chill and never paranoid. So, okay. So this was all leading up to a bigger trip. Okay. So there's this mushroom company in LA called Mushy Girls.
Cute.
It's really cute. It's like you order from them a whole menu. They send you like cute emojis. They're like 35 minutes away. So excited. So LA.
They're
blowing up and everyone is ordering from this company. So my friend had some and I was like, okay. So I'm going to get this bar called the Golden Teacher.
Oh, God.
So it's key with mushrooms is that the strains are different.
Yeah.
So Golden Teacher, I'm like, hell yeah, that's all I want. I want to be taught. And I love gold.
That sounds like the key to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, is this going to be it? So I got a Golden Teacher bar about 7 months ago and I did 3 pieces and went to a museum. So this is going to lead up to my God trip because this was the first thing. And I'm with my cousin in this like crazy interactive museum. And all of a sudden I go, Andrea, her name's also Andrea. Mm-hmm. I go, Andrea, I can't look up right now. Can you just go ahead and look up for me?
So, like you were afraid something was up there?
Yeah. Well, it was like this weird interactive museum. Everything started looking like Tim Burton. That's an experience I had a lot.
I remember that from mushrooms. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but the golden teacher part started wildly kicking in 30 minutes later. Okay. We are at a coffee shop and all of a sudden I was Neo in the Matrix and I could see past everybody's resistance, including myself. And I was just going up to people and talking to them like I was God. And it was insane. And this lasted for an hour. I went up to this barista. I looked at him and I was like, you're so good at your job. And I just like knew to say that. And he was so affected by it. Then my cousin and I go to a ramen spot. And as soon as we walk in, the hostess is fighting with this other family. It's not a good scene. And I'm like observing it. And we go sit down. And I immediately start making her laugh and saying all of these things that I normally would not say. This goes on for like an hour. Uh-huh. At the end of our meal, she comes out and she's like, I just want to say I've never felt so seen in my life before. Like, I can't tell you like what you did for me right now. And it's because I was Neo. It was insane. Like people didn't look like people. They, it's hard for me to even describe. It looked like I could see past everybody. It didn't matter how old you were, but like all the walls we had were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this is awesome.
So is that the part where you said that you talked to God, or was it,
no,
this was all leading up to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah. Pause for a second, because I've been listening to, you know, MAPS podcast and different psychedelics podcasts. And I'm especially interested in like therapists who do the integration. And from what I understand, like you can go to a place where they administer it for you and they sit with you and you put like the, what is that called? Sleep mask on.
Eye mask.
They get you in like a blanket. Yeah. And so when you have your trip, but you're not out in public. Like you are kind of contained more so. And then you're almost having like a therapy session and the therapist is like taking notes and like interacting with you just a little bit, but really letting the person have their experience. And then afterwards is like the debriefing and the integration. Have you ever done that before?
So that's exactly what I did with ketamine. So we can get to that. That was a whole separate experience.
But ketamine was after the psilocybin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would 100% say that if you want to have like a real spiritual integrative experience and use the medicine as a way to grow, I would make sure number one, you're in a super safe place. Like I probably shouldn't have been out wilding out at a museum. And then two, that's if you do a big dose. Two, make sure you're with safe people. And three, give yourself like 6 hours for sure.
I've also heard, make sure that you're not only with safe people, but they are sober.
Oh,
at least one person.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, that's not what I've done. I've only been with one person and they've normally been blacked out and raging. No, I'm kidding. But you want to make sure the whole thing feels safe. Cause the last thing you want is a variable of, cause you don't want to trip down the wrongs, but that's never happened to me. I've only had insanely amazing experiences.
Well, and it's interesting that here's what I would, and I'm not an expert in this, but here's what I would probably recommend. So you and I come at this from different places. So I've had great experiences before. So I don't think I would need to do like the kind of, although it's been like 20, 25 years, I don't think I would need to do the sort of like baby steps into it, like with the microdosing and things.
Yeah.
That's what I would recommend for somebody who's never done psychedelics before.
Totally.
Is start with baby steps. And then if you want to do it for fun, then go and do it recreationally. But I think a lot of people listening are probably like want to do it for therapeutic purposes and, you know, find, although it costs more to hire someone to guide you. But those are options for people.
I agree. I had somebody, so I've been talking about this a lot on my podcast, and I had one of my listeners reach out and she's like, listen to your podcast. I'm doing a gram this weekend. I was like, oh no. Not to start.
Is that a lot?
No. Yeah. I was like, No. I'm like, I never said that.
Yeah.
I'm all about responsibility. Like I'm not saying like, I think that they can be used as an incredible tool. I think a lot of people's bad stories about mushrooms are because they went off the fucking deep end. They did something crazy. They wiled out. They were at a party. Like
or
all
they
the
came
things-
into the experience, like not mentally well.
Yeah, exactly. And so then someone hears one bad story. It's so funny because I feel like there's so much parallels between this and like what Reefer Madness was, where everyone's like, so when you get high, what you're going to do is you're going to drive your car and you're going to hit kids on bikes.
What?
That's why pot's. That's a commercial. That's a pot commercial.
I don't
anti-pot
remember
commercial.
That.
Oh yeah, there's an anti-pot commercial, a bunch of kids smoking weed in a car and they're laughing and he just pulls out and drills a kid on a bike.
Oh Jesus, I don't remember that. I was probably too stoned like to remember that.
You were so high. So here's a question I have for everyone, and I have this question for you. So the other thing that I hear people so apprehensive about mushrooms is people are like, I'm terrified to let go. Mm-hmm. Can you do that? What's your thoughts on that?
I can. We need to take a quick ad break. When we come back, I want to talk about that. So be right back, everybody. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. And each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, we're back. So I do think I can. I don't know. It's I make these assumptions based on the experience that I had before. What it would really depend on is who I was with.
Yes.
100%. Yes. It would have to be with a therapist that I trust or really anyone else, but it couldn't be with somebody that I haven't already been vulnerable with and experienced the safe place to land.
Your dog.
she would not be a safe place. She's way too hyper. She's too needy.
My dog is a token for groundedness. And every time I've done mushrooms with him, I look at him, I just go, you're so wise. You're so wise. I just get like so deep. I get in his face. I'm like, you're so old. You're so mature. You know everything.
Thank you.
It's great. Yeah. Thank you for being here. I just like hold him for so long. He's always been a token for like grounding back to, okay, but you're still here in reality.
This is still real life. I know we're bouncing around a lot, but I want to make sure that I want to ask you, like, was there, because one of the reasons that I want to do it is because I feel like I have these unconscious patterns that I cannot untangle from. I was just, before you and I recorded, I recorded an episode with someone and we were talking about anxious attachment styles and, you know, I'm, you know, getting out of my second marriage and I'm like, why do I keep finding myself with the same people over and over again? And it's almost like I have this like sonar for people who are the opposite of me. And I'm like, please, can I beg you to love me? And they're like, no, I don't love you back. And I'm like,
yeah.
And before we even utter any words and I'm like wanting to absorb this person and wear their skin. So that is like a pattern I want to, and I can't talk my way out of that. I've tried for 30 years. So was there a thing, or was it just the entire experience that you wanted?
First of all, I want to come back and fight you on attachment styles. Second of all,
what is yours?
Mine is perfection. I have a very mixed feeling on attachment styles because I think it's very in trend right now. Just quickly, I will say this. And I think that when people discover theirs, then it almost is like they're therapizing themselves into a box. Mm-hmm. So I have friends that are like, I'm super anxious. And I'm like, well, now you are. There are certain people that I've been all over the place. If I was to diagnose myself, which I will, I would say I'm avoidant. Okay. So the thing with me was, and still kind of is, obsessive ruminating worrying.
Mm-hmm.
Like face down in the bed, I can't move worrying, like paralyzing worrying.
I don't think any of my listeners struggle with that. So we can just move on.
What do you mean?
Like, That's weird.
We have a clear, incredible, but I mean, yeah, you know, wake up in the morning and be like, I can't move because I can't stop worrying.
Okay. See, I think I'm anxious, but I don't struggle with that.
See,
I would say
flawless.
On a scale of 1 to 10, like what you just described would be like up there, like 8, 9, or 10. I'm around a 6 with that. Oh,
no, we're supposed to have a depressed off. We're supposed to see who's worse here. Fuck this.
Then you win this one.
I'm going to be like, no, I'm fine. But it's in a very specific area. It's with like jobs and money concerns. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it's just a pattern. It's not, that's the thing that everyone has to realize. Nothing is wrong with you. It's just a pattern.
It's your brain patterns.
And what's so cool about psychedelics is it opens a door in the back of your mind that you did not know was there. It's literally like someone opening a window and letting fresh air in. And you're like, oh, and now I'm completely changed. So to get to the God trip, if that's okay, It was so profound that I am still recovering from it. It was in June of last year.
So we're recording this late January 2024.
So that's 6 months. And I haven't done another one since because I still feel like I'm processing it. So that's when people are like, it's addicting,
right?
Yeah. That's when people are like, it's addicting. I'm like, fuck no, it's not. Because your body, you need to integrate it. And it takes a toll on you. Like for sure. Mushrooms take a bigger toll on you than ketamine. And I could talk about that as well.
Yeah, let's switch over to ketamine for a little while. Like, what does that look like logistically?
Ketamine is, okay, so you talked about Mindbloom, amazing company. I'm a huge advocate for them. My friend did it, and then I have another friend of a friend who did it. So ketamine was 6 trips, and it is a liquid suspension. So you hold it in the front of your mouth for a certain amount of time. They recommend 7 minutes. Let's just say your boy upped the dose a little bit, held it a little longer towards the end, and then you trip for 50 minutes, and then it's like, not bad. Then you can kind of go back to your life. You shouldn't speed back to your life. They recommend not going on social media or watching the news because your brain is so plastic at that point to change.
Okay.
So that experience, I did that in October and I did it every week for 6 weeks straight.
And you do that on your own, right? Like it's legal for them to send it to you. They give you the protocol of how to do it.
Yeah. So the first one, you have to have a guide there. So the guide will check you in. It was my friend who recommended Mindbloom to me.
Okay.
And so she was like checking in on you. You have a heart rate monitor. And then after that, the next 5 trips I did on my own.
And by the way, Ray, they don't sponsor the show. Like you and I have talked about them because I know about them. And I know a couple other people who have done it. So
they sponsor my soul though, Andrea.
So what, that is so fascinating to me. And ketamine, isn't it a tranquilizer?
Yeah. So it's basically like
anesthesia.
It's an anesthesia for animals. So here's what's crazy about my ketamine experience. And that is it's every single trip I had, I was this like celestial star being. And again, I saw insane visuals that were so nice and so smooth. And so what you do is you do the 7 minutes. After 7 minutes, you put on a blind sleep mask, like you said, great sleep mask, I have to say. And then you have headphones in and they have meditative music synced up. So then you go on this journey, a gong hits at 50 minutes and you can sort of slowly come out of it. They want you to journal after. When you do Mindbloom, you have access to integrative sessions. You have like a counselor you check in once in a while. It's a whole thing. So it's
how much did it cost? Do you remember?
It's more
it's
the first
part of it.
Time.
They make you forget it.
Yeah. They're like, when you're in your trip, you won't just give us all your credit card information for all your credit cards. We're going to wipe you the fuck out.
And you will not worry when you see them completely maxed out.
And it's totally fine. I know you had money worries before. Not now. Because you've just given all your money to us. Ketamine. Mindbloom. It's the best drug of the year. It was kind of expensive, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that expensive. I think it was $400 a month for 3 months.
Okay. So like therapy.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. And then if you want to do it again, which I will, it's a massive discount for returning customers.
Oh, okay. When do you think you're going to do it again?
I think I want to do it in like 6 months.
Okay.
And I want to do another God trip soon. Basically, I just want to be riddled with psychedelics. No,
yeah, just right into your bloodstream.
I'm at a journey. I'm at a point now in this journey, and maybe you're similar to me, where I don't want to take small swings anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm only doing things that are going to massively change my brain chemistry. I just don't, I don't want to talk about shit. I don't want to do any more Reiki sessions. I don't want to hold any more crystals. I've done so many vision boards. I just want to rewire my fucking brain. I don't care anymore. I just don't.
It needs to be a t-shirt. I don't want to do any more vision boards.
Don't make me do any more vision boards, man.
Don't hand me a pair of scissors. Well, okay. So we haven't talked about your God trip yet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So was this before or after you did the ketamine?
Before. It's in June. So ketamine is October. All right. So do the trip. I take like 6 mushroom chocolates. There's, I think, 14 or 16 in the bar. Okay. And so I'm with my friend, and all of a sudden everything starts looking like Tim Burton. And I'm like, okay, we need to go inside right now. And so I go inside my apartment, and I'm having a trouble focusing on anything. And this is kind of what I was saying about letting go. So my friend was like, well, you should just sit down in a chair and just reorient yourself. Sit down in a chair, and I see my ocean photo. I have this giant ocean painting in my apartment. It's awesome. I've had this for 3 years. I look at the ocean picture, swear to God, the picture says to me, "Hello, Brendan. We're so glad you're here. Let me show you what's really going on." And then next 3 hours, I proceed, the ocean photo starts talking to me and showing me things, and then I could ask it questions and it would change and give me answers.
Oh my God.
And I did not move from my seat for 2.5 hours, and I put a pillow behind my head, and towards the end I started writing stuff down, and everything that I got was completely profound. And I don't think a lot of people would disagree with some of the stuff that I heard and saw.
What kind of questions were you asking?
I was asking then, like, why is there, so basically here's the profound message I got, which this actually might be the hardest thing for people to hear. I got that there's nothing is bad. So, and I've heard this before from a lot of people who've tripped, and I do believe this, and people will talk about this in near death experiences. I think it's all the same thing. So basically one of the coolest things that happened is the ocean started looking at me, and it was like, watch this. And I saw garbage being dumped into this photo. There's no garbage in this photo. And the ocean started dancing and moving up and down and almost smiling at me. And it was like, you see that? We don't even register that as garbage. We never stop being magnificent ever for any reason. And so basically it was just kept saying, like, there is a perfection and a rhythm to everything that's so good and so profound that it's cool that you guys go do your human shit and you guys go be humans, but never forget that this is actually what's going on. Never forget the perfection of the universe. Like, at one point I was like, well, what about vibration? And they're like, we don't even register things as vibration because we're operating at such a high frequency. That's like a you guys word. And I was like, what about manifestation? They're like, we don't care about manifestation.
It's a little below us.
Yeah. They're like, we don't even know what that means. Exactly. They're like, we don't even know what that means. But what was, it kept showing me like how perfect nature is, and how perfect there's a rhythm. Like literally the sun came out of my photo and started dancing over the ocean. And then the ocean started like coalescing around it. And it was like this insane, magnificent rhythm party about being like, this is what's actually going on. And you guys are out here all doing your human shit, thinking like everything's a huge deal, but they're like, just keep coming back to the rhythm. It just kept saying that to me.
So how has that helped you? Like, for example, with the rumination and worry about work and money and all of that, how have you integrated that? Are you still working on it?
It's not perfect. It's gotten so much better. I do think, first of all, the chemicals in both mushrooms and ketamine will already help you there with the brain. And I'll get to what this ketamine person said to me, which was so helpful about brain stuff. Basically, I think how it's happened is it starts giving you a broader and broader perspective. I would say like a good analogy is, I always say you never see a stressed out airplane pilot because they have such a zoom out view of the world. The more you do mushrooms, the more you can zoom out, and you could also be like, whatever. Like for the next 3 months after this trip, I would freak out when I see a tree. I'm like, do you guys see how incredible this tree was? Mm-hmm. Like I went to a party a week later on the ocean and everyone was talking about, you know, human bullshit. And I was just looking at the ocean and I was completely mesmerized. I was like, oh my God, this ocean is so good.
I've had moments like that, like where when I'm sober, just in awe of the magnificence of it. And also like how small it makes me feel, not in a bad condescending way, but just how there's so many, like my life bullshit really at the end of the day doesn't matter.
And what I think is I learned on ketamine is too, is like the importance that you're placing on your quote problems, which they are problems. Like I don't get me wrong. Like I still think I actually do agree that there's nothing bad about that, but I understand that they're problems, is like, it's such a choice. So it makes you be like, oh, I can choose to not think this, or I can actually focus on this tree and say it's super important, or I can lay in my bed and torture myself about jobs and money. So it starts to like just open up avenues. It's not as, I would never say it's going to take it all away, but maybe it can. I just think like it provides this insanely helpful perspective that in the end, they don't even, like by they, I mean God or whatever, they don't even register it as problems. They don't see what you're going through. And like the broader perspective of your life is so important to have, of like what really matters. Mm-hmm. And I think people like that are dying feel this way. But like zoom out, get out of your head as much as possible and realize like so many things are working.
Okay. Okay.
Does that help at all?
I think so. Cause it's
you
not
seem lost and angry.
No. I'm thinking about people listening who might have like had just egregious things happen to them, you know, like the loss of a child or things like that. So what I'm gathering is that it's not that God or the universe or whatever is saying like that doesn't matter and that their feelings aren't worthy of being felt. It's just the impact that we let it have on us. Is that a fair?
So one thing I said to the painting, I was like, well, then why do I feel so much pain? And it was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. The sun came out even further. So I like felt it on my body and it was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Like, we don't want you to feel that way. That's not what we want. So no, of course, like I think that I would never belittle someone's problems saying it's not important. I'm just saying like, I don't think enough of us, including myself, are tuning into the fact that so many things are great and that like you're hot. Basically, you come here as source energy. Like, I do believe that. So if you come here as that, the more you can lean into that and the more that you're connected to that feeling, the more everything's going to be better and you're going to be happier. And that's all I'm saying. It's wild.
It's wild. And I love that you're like, that's all I'm saying. Like, it's just like no big deal, but it's like such a big deal. It's like the biggest lesson. And it sounds very almost like Buddhism, like the very little I know about Buddhism.
It's such a big deal. It changed my life. Like it really has. And it's really prioritized things. It's not, and I still want stuff, but it's also like, but I know that that's still going on. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. So I've been through a journey just with like the quote unquote law of attraction. So in 2007,
oh yeah,
my 2006, 07, my life fell apart. And that was right when that book and documentary came out, The Secret. Yeah. And I think that was sort of the entry point for many of us, but I was just prime to just take it on. And I'm like, I was making the vision boards and they worked. And it was such a huge realization for me. And I sort of ran with it for a long time. And then I started to get kind of grossed out by it because it was very like LA. And the thing that the straw that broke the camel's back was I heard someone that I followed say that, you know, like anything bad that happens to you, it was like you had some kind of soul contract and it was meant to happen to you. And I'm like, fuck you. People don't attract assault or just these horrible, horrible things.
I also don't believe in meant to be. I don't think that's true at all.
What I have done with it is I sort of have taken what I wanted and left the rest. And that has been helpful. So I agree with you. I think that we're all source energy. I think that we could do a better job of focusing on what's working versus what's not working. And the times in my life where I have done that, my life has been significantly better. And it shit will still hit the fan. Like I will still get handed shit sandwiches, but I just feel okay about it, if that makes sense. And that's done sober.
Let me say this more clearly. So, because this just hit me. People might think of self-help stuff and positive thinking as brainwashing, but you have to realize that you're brainwashing yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Brainwashing yourself.
Who's washing your brain?
With shitty thoughts, chances are you're not good enough. You're not attractive. And the amount of women I know who think that they're overweight when they're in incredible shape, it's crazy. But that doesn't matter because that's what they're telling themselves. So what I think this trip said was like, hey, you're so magnificent, you can't even begin to fathom it. And then when I went on ketamine, it just, that feeling, that thought, just, I just went even deeper with it. It was crazy. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like that Marianne Williamson quote of like, who are you to not believe in your magnificence or whatever? Like, we're afraid of how
yeah.
amazing we are.
Oh, I know what you mean. I think
I'm just botching it, but.
I think that was Kanye.
It was. Thank you for the correction.
No, but I think like that, and that's what I keep telling myself too. If you're going to brainwash yourself anyways, why not do it to the good side? Because who's really walking around being like, yeah, like who's really going around being like, I'm magnificent, aside from Kanye maybe, but like who's actually doing that?
Who struggles with mental illness? So maybe
it's probably a bad example. bad example.
Okay, so that was psilocybin that you had with the painting.
The painting.
Okay, and then
it's crazy. And then I saw like something like with a woman that blew my mind. Like just so many things that came up and. Yeah, stuff I never thought I would, stuff I didn't even like, and again, this is not even like stuff I agree with or really thought. Like these were all realizations. I did not go in there being like, I have this intention, please show me the truth. It just all was unfolding in the moment.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
We're back from the commercial break.
It's been three days.
It's been a long. I've been on Zoom this whole time waiting for you to come back, because that's how chill I am now. That's how well plant medicine and psychedelics work.
Has worked. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, let me explain. When we left for the break last time, which was several days ago, my power went out and I abruptly hung up on Brendan.
It was great.
Such a good colleague and podcast guest that he has stayed on Zoom this whole time.
Yeah.
We're back.
This is how I know I've changed. I was actually really cool because I thought actually I did it and I was like, fuck. And I'm like, you know what, man? Everything works out. We're talking about drugs.
Nothing is good and nothing is bad.
Nothing's bad, man.
Just the Buddha says. Okay. So speaking of Zen and massive growth, what I wanted to ask you before the power went out and we took a 4-day break is ayahuasca. Because before you answer the question, I do want you to kind of explain for people that have no idea, like, what is ayahuasca? And keep in mind that when I tell people that I want to do ayahuasca, people are like, you need to slow down, because it's a major leap, right, in terms of psychedelics.
So I actually haven't done ayahuasca, but I've talked to a lot of people who have.
Well, I thought you did.
No, I did ketamine and mushrooms. I haven't done ayahuasca. Okay. But no, I mean, I've talked to a ton of people, had a bunch of people on my podcast, and it does seem like the most intense of all of them. And I know that to do it correctly, I think you need to like fully have a shaman and go like do a retreat. So I actually talked to someone about this last night. I don't feel like you have to have a shaman for mushrooms or ketamine, but ayahuasca, yes, I would have a shaman for.
Don't buy it from Jake with the neck tattoo behind a Best Buy.
Jake is a White Claw shaman. So that's more of his special. So if you're going to do White Claw, call Jake and get ready to hear some Dave Matthews Band.
Yes. Do some hacky sack.
Yeah, but I totally would do ayahuasca. But I think that's a good point. If you're trying to get into this psychedelics, this is what I would recommend. Again, I'm not a doctor. But I would say start small with something like mushrooms and then work your way up. That just feels like the more responsible thing to do. But I know people who plunged right into ayahuasca and they were fine.
Yeah, and see, that's something I would do. But I'm the same way. I think even if no one's ever done anything and maybe just had a glass of wine or two their entire life, maybe start with gummies. Like, what is the delta? Yeah. Isn't there some kind of like THC?
I thought you were going to say start with Fireball. I thought it was going to Fireball.
No, I don't even wine. Know what that is. You mean like?
Oh, it's a brutal shot. That means you've definitely not been drinking. Good job.
What's his name? Sing a song about that.
Yeah, it was like the popular college drink. It's just straight up poison. It's fine.
Okay, for millennials.
Yeah.
We drink Goldschlager. Gen X drink Goldschlager.
Oh my God. My heart almost stopped once on Goldschlager. It's fine. I felt it beating out of my chest. But this is okay. This is actually a really quick, great segue for a quick plug. Let's just think about what we're talking about. Everybody's cool with alcohol that's poisons you and like rips your heart in half. And then when you start talking about mushrooms, people are like, I don't know. It's scary. I'm like, but you drink Fireball.
Right.
It's poison.
But you've drank jungle juice out of a dirty cooler
from a guy named Chad just handed you. Here you go. Yeah, it's fine. It's safe. Don't worry about it. You're not going to talk to God, but you will talk to me, which is much worse.
I just grabbed this solo cup out of my bathroom. I don't know if somebody used it to clean the toilet or if it's.
Yeah, new. I just scooped it in this bathtub full of gin. I think it's fine.
I've been to those parties.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's great.
Yes. Okay. So ease in is what you're saying. Yeah. Maybe start
I think it
with
just makes some more sense.
And yes. Well, I mean, I do think we need to also acknowledge that where you get these substances is important, just with the rise of fentanyl. And that is scary. That is not something to joke around about.
Yeah, I've never done cocaine. I'll never do cocaine. I actually know comics that have died from fentanyl and cocaine. Yikes. And yeah, I think there's actual professional companies now. Like I got my mushrooms, like I mentioned, from an actual company. Mm-hmm. So I would like also check out and say, hey, like talk to someone who's done those. Be like, how was it for you? But yeah, definitely do your research. And I think easing into it is great.
Well, for sure, put the link in the show notes to the mushroom. Was it chocolates, like truffles or something that you mentioned?
Okay. Called Mushy Girls.
Mushy Girls, that's right. And also Mind Bloom. We'll for sure do that.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we need to wrap up. So is there anything that you want to either underscore that we already talked about or say before we close up so you can feel complete?
Yeah, when I was waiting for four days on Zoom, I had an insight that I wanted to share. I think this is what I will say is the best takeaway from it, all of it. You know how like in all of the self-help literature, it's like, you're just love. You're just pure love. That's all you are.
Some of the self-help literature.
Yeah, song.
Hashtag like, self-help.
You just hear that all the time and you could intellectualize it and you could like think, yeah, I agree with that. But it's a whole nother thing to actually experience it. And that's what I feel like I did in both ketamine and mushrooms. It's like kind of trying to intellectualize sex. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can talk about it, but if you've never had it, you don't really know it that well, right? So I will say I very much feel like I was able to deeply experience it, like actually feel what it's like to be pure love. That's what it was like on mushrooms, that my God trip. Mm-hmm. And then I think a lot about that scene in Forrest Gump when Lieutenant Dan
favorite
is
movies.
Oh my God, hell yeah, I knew you were gonna like it. When he was back floating and Forrest is like, I think I found his peace with God. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel that way now. Like everything makes more sense to me. I'm not this super enlightened being, but like I'm much more less on edge and anxious and mad, even though you got two copy Brenda right now. I was just yelling at my camera. I was doing a commercial audition, but, but I just feel like it's a profound change in that everything just is easier now. It makes more sense.
It sounds.
Did I convince you?
No, for sure. And it sounds like a spiritual experience. to put it very, sum it up in two words.
Thank you for making it so obvious.
AKA a
spiritual so easy. Experience. It's yeah. just what we call a spiritual experience. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate your testimony and your experience so much. I'm excited to dive more into this and to do ketamine therapy myself soon. So my audience will get a sneak peek of that whole journey for me. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. I am so grateful for your time. I know that it's incredibly precious. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now. Hey, listeners, if you work for a company that does professional development, did you know that I offer leadership training, more specifically, empathy and assertiveness and how it makes stronger teams? You can see more on my speaking page at andreaowen.com/speaking, where there's also a contact button there so you can fill out that form and let's chat. Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.